Bethel cast number 3 is getting ready to go. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is Pastor Dave Young along with
Brian Jaster.
And we are blessed and we are excited to have with us today the lovely, the talented, just the smartest woman in the world, or at least one who should be commended on her choices in life. My wife, the Reverend Heidi David Young. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad that you are here. Being forced because our person who we were going to interview was unavailable for today. And so, but we'll have that person next week. We're excited about that. But we are equally excited because what God does is take things that don't turn out the way you want and turn them into something awesome. And that is what we have today with my wife, Heidi David Young, here. It's so great to have you. If you haven't heard the story, her name is Heidi David Young. She loved me so much, she took both my names. Because I am that awesome. So, anyway, but we're happy today to be with you. Now, real quick, just a few notes about, or one note about our opening music. If you notice, it kind of starts out with the rock beat, goes to organ, and then comes into some rock and guitar. And we chose that as indicative of kind of the way that not only our worship is here at Bethel, where we like to have organ, and we like to have some rock, and we like to have some wonderful, different, eclectic musical tastes and offerings, but also it's emblematic of what we feel is kind of happening in the life of Christianity. There has been wonderful gifts that have come to us, but the world is changing, and discipleship is changing, and so that's kind of emblematic of what happens at the beginning of each of our Bethel casts. So, wanted to get that out there, but and let you know why we kind of have that there. So I think that's indicative of a little bit of what's happening in the life of the Christian faith, so particularly here in America. So with that as a preamble, I'm going to turn it over to Brian, who is going to interview my wife. And I'm just going to sit here and be quiet, which is, I think what she might want me to do.
A good thing.
A good thing, absolutely, absolutely. Brian.
Well, it's good to be here, Pastor Heidi. Thanks for coming and being here.
And my last name, maiden name, was David, just for clarification.
No.
You know, don't let the truth get in the way of a great story. But okay, go ahead.
Well, speaking of stories, Heidi, I'd love to have our listeners and love to hear about your story, about the things in your life that have been significant, that have shaped you as a living, breathing follower of Jesus. So why don't you tell us a little bit of your story? Maybe start with one thing in your life that has been a very significant event that has shaped who you are.
I was thinking about that. Dave gave me a little heads up on what the topic would be, and I actually went back to my days at Wake Forest, where I went to college, and I think about two classes that I had. I was a religion and French major.
French,
yeah. Somebody asked me once if I was going to be a French nun, and I had to tell them no, but what do you do with a French and religion major?
Probably become a French nun.
Yeah, I don't know. I became a religion major because I wanted to know, I was asking questions and wanted to know more about this world we live in and who we are as people living in it. Started out as a physics major, thinking maybe physics had some answers. When I realized they didn't have a whole lot of the answers I was looking for, I wound up a religion major because, at least in religion, there's the honesty about we don't know, the mystery of things. So that seemed like a good place to start, is we're not sure about everything, and that's okay. One of the classes I took was, actually I don't even remember the title of the course, but I do remember that we were talking about the disciples of Jesus in the book of Acts, and how they, as disciples, shared everything in common and lived this very communal life together, serving the poor and going out and telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And after reading that and studying a bit more about it, it occurred to me, like, why I'd like to do that. Like, if that's what followers of Christ do, That's why, why don't more of us Christians try and do that? And I really, as a liberal arts major and having French and religion as a major, didn't know what I was going to do after I graduated. Until I came across the Lutheran Volunteer Corps and another organization just like the Urban Servant Corps, which are two Lutheran affiliated groups that house volunteers for a year, giving them a very small stipend every month. And then as volunteers, they are living and working in the community in which they find themselves living. They're living in Christian community with other volunteers for this whole year. And they're volunteering and working in and around nonprofits wherever their house that they are living in, provided by the organization. They're working in those organizations in that community. So I thought that sounded a lot like what I was reading in the book of Acts and what the early disciples were doing. I thought I'd like to try out living in Christian community, intentional Christian community, and volunteering for a year and living very simply by design. So that's what I did. I applied and went out to the Urban Servant Corps in Denver, Colorado, and lived with three other women, and there was an extended community at a separate house from us. Worked at a shelter for women, a daytime drop-in center, where people who are homeless or living in poverty, women and their children, could come and get some services, have a safe place to be during the day. As a full-time volunteer there, they asked me to manage the clothing donations they were getting. They would get a room full of clothing donations in the matter of a couple of days. And so I was sorting through them and trying to help distribute them fairly. So had a great, great education around homelessness and poverty and just an amazing, amazing year.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think was a big challenge for you that year that you didn't expect? Was there something that happened in that time of being alongside people, of practicing justice, that, you know, was something that really shook you a bit more than you expected, or was challenging?
I think the biggest thing was just the, I mean, I led a pretty sheltered life, very sheltered, I would say, up till that point. And I think just encountering these women and their children, who some were living on the streets, some were prostitutes, some were, you know, kids growing up in very unstable situations with moms who might be drug addicts. The amount of brokenness, the amount of, yeah, just the amount of chaos that most of these families and women were living in, and yet the hope there, seeing somebody's life be impacted because of something that the place I worked was called the Gathering Place, seeing somebody's life impacted because of their involvement there was powerful. So the biggest shock was just dealing with an environment and a culture of poverty that I really had very little exposure to up until that point.
Wow, that's powerful. So if I could kind of take a poke at this, it sounds like for you being a disciple and growing as a disciple in that time, and even now, as you can tell right now, has meant being in situations and with people who are profoundly hurting and just going there. And then also, I would say, the thing that has surprised me most about you probably is that you're very prayerful and quiet and thoughtful, but at this very same moment in time, you're vehemently passionate about justice and about God wanting to set the world right and us being mandated by God to join in that process. Like, we have to. It's not an option. And we must be angry about certain things. So it's both, you know, that you embody a quiet, thoughtful, very prayer-filled, open to God's Spirit, but because of that, you dare to speak the things you've said about this place you're at, and to continue to go there, and to get a bit angry about the realities that we don't always go to the places God wants us to go and stand up for the things that God stands up for.
Right. It's hard. It's hard to go there, and it's I mean, nobody wants to intentionally put themselves in a painful, whether it's emotional situation or physical or, yeah, we avoid it like the plague, especially I think in our culture where we've been taught pain is something to be avoided at, you know, whatever cost. And it's hard work. It is hard work. But it's necessary. Yeah, if we want to really value one another, I think as God wants us to love one another, because there is so much brokenness. There is so much hurt, and we do so much to each other to further that cause, unfortunately. So that you really, yeah, there has to be a voice that says, you know, we need to stop and we need to care for each other instead. Yeah, I've been reading an autobiography of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and powerful, powerful witness about justice. But the reaction many people have to him in his autobiography is not, yes, he would speak out, and he was not afraid to speak out for those who didn't have a voice or whose voice was not being heard. And it's interesting, they don't describe him as necessarily angry, but more as indignant. Like, he did it out of such of a place of love for people, that his voice and his love was so powerful. That was the overpowering emotion and feeling for people. That, yes, he still was able to speak truth to power. And I'm sure there were times when he certainly was angry, but that's not what comes across to most people. It was still his ability to speak out and speak the truth, even when people didn't want to hear it. But do it in such a way that the anger wasn't the predominant emotion. Mm-hmm. So I find that a very helpful model. Mm. Not that anger sometimes isn't appropriate.
Right, but it's motivated by love ultimately. Yeah. Right. Well, that's really a cool part of your story. I mean, you shared not only those things from your past and from quite a few years ago now that shape, but how that continues to form and shape you and to call you into following Jesus today. That's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. That's fantastic. May all of our listeners find the spaces where we dare act and speak in ways that are a little bit angry, but rooted ultimately in love, and the love that God has to restore and to heal this world. And may we follow Jesus, whose very life was committed to that. So, beautiful stuff.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks all for listening.
All right, y'all. Peace. Have a great day. May the peace of Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at all the wonders that he will show you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. God bless.
Peace. Bye-bye.